Here's a simple, profound quote from Carmen Scoggins to open this podcast opportunity for you. We're all in this together, and that's very powerful. And here's another one from Carmen Scoggins. I'm so lucky. I get to go to school every day. Carmen Scoggins brings articulate, energized, and energizing words and actions to her life. I can't just say her work in world language education and training. The high level of quality at which she does this for students and colleagues makes her an award winner across the board. Classroom instruction, application of technology in world language education, educational leadership. But Carmen also brings to her life, work, and this podcast exactly what all good world language lovers, educators, and career users do. She brings deep respect for others, an urgency to open the eyes of others to our common humanity, and the excitement and wonder of experiencing, even just for a moment, the sounds and images found in the minds and mouths of speakers of other languages, the perspectives, practices, and values of humanity around the world and right around the corner. What do you reflect on? How do you fit in? What impact do you make on the world? How does your personal experience with language and culture, your own and others, inform your experiences and your reflection? Listen as Carmen Scoggins tells powerful stories of her own and others' experience of the impact of language and culture on how we understand ourselves and our world.
I'm Nora Jones. Welcome to It's About Language. This podcast connects language and culture to life, learning, and hope. You'll experience insightful conversations with creative leaders in the fields of education, business, arts, and science. My guests shed light on the impact of language and culture on individuals and society as they share their stories and experiences. You'll be informed and inspired as we explore how language and culture make us human and bring hope in the midst of a challenging world.
It's my great pleasure today to welcome Carmen Scoggins as my guest on the podcast. Hi, Carmen.
Good morning. How are you today?
I am doing well. I always am so delighted every time I hear your voice, and the fact that you have said yes to a conversation with me today brings me joy on top of a pretty day. So welcome.
Well, thank you so much. This is certainly my one of my highest honors, so I am so happy to be here.
Well, it's an honor for us to be able to hear you bring all sorts of ideas, because one of the things, Carmen, that when folks take a look at my website, they'll be able to take a look at your biography, and they'll see what an award-winning educator you are. I mean, it is tremendously impressive to be awarded the Leadership Award, Award for Excellent Language Instruction Using Technology, and of course, especially the leadership of the various organizations that bring such power in world language and culture education. Thank you.
Thank you. I've been very blessed.
And why do you think that's so? What is it about your leadership and your passion that makes you do this?
I guess it all started when I was in high school. I did a lot of, you know, I was the sophomore class president, junior class president. And so I cultivated that leadership hunger, I think, at a very young age. And then I was awarded a North Carolina Teaching Fellows Scholarship, and I attended Appalachian State University. And it's all about building future teacher leaders. And I did my first national presentation when I was 19 years old at the National Honors Conference in Chicago. And I was like, wow, I didn't realize how impactful that was going to be. And then once I started teaching, I attended my first state conference, and I was like, I bet I could present. And so I presented the next year. I got best of the state presentation, and I was like 23 years old. So then that just led into being on boards and serving in leadership roles. So it all just kind of came from something I guess I had in me all along that I just didn't realize how it was going to impact my whole future of education and just love of serving others and giving back to the profession.
There are so many wonderful pathways to go down with this, because you have shared with me that something that is very important you want to share is the power of reflection and introspection as well as connection. So when I turn to you again and say, what is it that brought that clarity? Think about what it is that you were reflecting on when you look back at the breakthroughs in your early life that way.
Right. At such a young age, I probably wasn't in a position, or I probably was reflecting and being introspective, but I didn't realize that's what was happening. It's taken me a lot of my adult life to realize the power that can come from just taking a minute and saying, let me think of how this has impacted me and others and where I fit into all this and what I can do to keep things going, to make things better, to make really literally, to say a cliche, the world a better place. That's what I try to do in the classroom every day and certainly in all the leadership roles that I've had. But it has come through me taking a minute and thinking about how I fit into everything.
Let's take a look at both of those populations that come from what you just said. You're in the classroom and you're helping young people to develop some of these skill sets of introspection and leadership reflection. Let's start with those wonderful young people and the fact that you're awarded for doing that well. And then we'll head into some of the grown-ups. How about that?
Okay, that sounds great. I love it. Yeah, so I guess I see getting to go to school every day as a blessing. I think, you know, everyone says, oh, I have to go to work today. I've never really said that in my life. I just say I get to go to school today. And I know that sounds a little silly, but I've been to school my whole life. So this is just being a teacher has just been an extension of me being a learner. And of course, I'm still a learner today. So I go to school every day. And I'm on spring break right now, but when we come back, all of my students are going to be in the building at the same time. So I'm very excited about that. Of course, it's the first time in a year that we've all been back together at once. Great. So we've been split up, but now everyone will be together. So that'll be a nice way to end the school year. And I take what I do every day very seriously because I realize that I have a platform, I guess you would say, an opportunity to not just share the language I love, of course, which is Spanish, with my students, but I get to talk to them about life stuff because you can do anything through the language. And so just being able to say, hey, there are other people out there in the world who are just like you is a huge thing. We live in a very small microcosm in the mountains of North Carolina, and some of my kids have never traveled. They've not been to a big city. And so I just have this amazing opportunity to share my limited experiences, but also just the things that are out there and opportunities. So I do try to talk to them about leadership. I involve them every time I am going to a conference, every time I have a board meeting, and they're like, you do all that stuff? And I'm like, yes, and here's why. And then, you know, I have some kids who go to competitions for DECA or FFA, and they always come to me and say, would you listen to my presentation? Or so I can see that it's catching on, that they appreciate what I do because I do try to involve them in the process.
That's wonderful. And the thing is, leadership within the classroom, you're in the midst of discussing some of the aspects that you provide to students, but to give them a vision of the fact that the leadership can also be in the world, can be local or in the world.
Right.
Does that work then? I mean, I too come from a rural area. Giving that vision to students takes a little extra push.
It does. It does. And I think one way that I know it's working, it's like that ripple effect. You know, you drop a couple pebbles in and you just really don't know how far your impact is going to extend until a former student reaches out to you and says, hey, I'm in Spain right now, or I'm in Germany right now, or I'm wherever in the world. And they want to tell me about it. It's like, you know, I literally just had a kid find me on Instagram and say, you said I was going to do this one day, but I never thought I would. And he's in Mexico right now. And it's those kinds of things. You just never know how much, like I said, impact you're going to have on students and until they tell you. And a lot of them do want to come back and tell me. It's like they're so proud they have to share it with me, which is an honor for me.
As well they should be proud of the work that they do. Now extrapolate, go over to adults. How do you help adults to do that kind of reflection, understanding, and growing?
I am very lucky. I serve as my department chair in my school. It's a very small department. There are only five of us. And I also sit on a leadership team for professional learning teams. And so in those roles, I'd hate to say I have a lot of power, but I really try to use my power for good. Mm-hmm. And I bring things to our groups that, because I'm so connected in the country, a little bit more internationally now, and just throughout the state, I really try to bring like latest trends, best practices, and make them think critically about what we do in the classroom every day. And that's what I try to do when I'm presenting also. I always talk about building student relationships. That's first and foremost. I think people can see in my own presentations that I have tried to reflect a lot. I always try to learn something from myself when I present, if that makes sense.
Yes.
Because giving and giving and giving, I think, gosh, but doing research and staying fresh and trying to find a new way to say, hey, this is what I do in the classroom every day has kept me very reflective, I think. So I hope that the adults around me see that as I share my ideas with them.
When you talk about the role of reflection and introspection, then how do you make sure that people understand that that is what is happening and that you feel that there's value in using introspection and reflection?
Sometimes I ask my whoever's listening some questions, like that one of the sessions I recently did, everyone with the whole crisis and the pandemic and everything, a lot of people chose to see that whole time as a really negative time. Yes, there were things we missed and, you know, we were sad. We couldn't see people. We couldn't go out to restaurants, you know, poor us. Mm-hmm. So I really tried to consider what was happening in my own life and take some time just to look inwardly and say, you know, the pandemic validated these practices in my classroom, or it enlightened my teaching in this way, or it made me think differently about teaching in this way. And not just about teaching, but in the way I approach everything. Again, I think we've all had a little extra time to ourselves. And so I really tried to look inwardly a little bit more. I see this as a kind of a three-tiered thing. Like the connections we make, if you think of three circles, would be on the outer edge of the farthest circle away from you, because it's the most important thing. We have to reach out to people. We are connected. We're connected to our students. We're connected to our friends, our communities. The next circle in is the reflection piece. You know, John Dewey says that we don't learn from experience. We learn from reflecting on experience. And so we begin to like look in the mirror and really see ourselves. And then that final inner circle is once the lens is really on you, like you're taking a selfie, there's the introspective piece where you say, how am I reacting to situations? How can I do this better? And how do I fit in? And again, try to make things better overall for everyone involved.
You know, Carmen, you have done such a beautiful job there of giving us those three tiers. Thank you.
And thank you.
You've applied it to the way that you work, even just in creating about language education and about the work that you do. Seems to me that that's especially relevant to the way that our society needs leadership that will help to look at those three tiers in general. And how language and cultural leaders like yourself can help to increase, shall we say, the level of compassion, integration, global understanding. Can you provide some reflections on what I just said there?
I think so. I recently at the Spring Sculpt Conference, I had the honor and privilege of doing a leadership workshop with Dr. Bobby Hobgood, and our focus was on the theme of inclusion. And I have always thought of myself as that I have an inclusive classroom, but I, again, tried to really grow from that experience of putting this workshop together with him, because it made me pause again and really think about what do I do in the classroom that, of course, extends outside the classroom walls. But someone mentioned the African concept of Ubuntu, and I have like been obsessed with that ever since. If you know the saying, Ubuntu is I am only because we are. I think that's beautiful because it reminds us that we fit into a bigger picture. I am kind of a big picture person. I use backward design for that very reason in my classroom when I plan, because I want to I want my students to see where they're going before we start the journey together. And I think if we approach life in that way, if we backward design life, I think that it can be so powerful. If we can see what, you know, what our end goal is and then work towards that goal, to me, that's the whole concept of I am because of everyone around me, because of who we are. And I just love that concept. I just ordered a sign that so for my office because I want to constantly have a reminder that I am part of something bigger and that I have a responsibility to give back to that bigger community.
Hey, very beautifully said.
As a career educator and certified Gallup Strengths coach, I engage with you and your team to bring energy, focus, and breakthroughs to all you do. Fluency Consulting provides workshops, presentations, talks, and team-building events for K-16 educators and education-oriented organizations and businesses. Get energized, experience new insights, pathways, and perspectives. For more information, see our show notes or go to fluency.consulting.com.
Now let's go to that backwards design that you brought up several times, including backwards design in life. Again, we're talking about the language and culture connection and insight that you bring. How do we help folks to, and I'm including adults here, adults that are not in your classroom, that can help them to use reflection and introspection and the understanding of the role of language and culture in their own identity and that of others to bring about a vision and that Ubuntu?
Yes. Well, goodness. I guess just, again, the more opportunities I have to share things that I love with other people, I just hope that will come through that. I think a lot of teachers see me as, you know, oh, shoot, Carmen presents all the time and she's just got everything going on so well in her classroom. And that's not the case all the time. I am constantly trying to stay fresh in what I do. I try not to get too complacent with the way I do things or have done things in the past, because I know there's always something for me to learn from someone else. And again, I really think that the deeper I go with my own just outreach to others and learning from others, it brings me a lot of confidence in the classroom. But I also know that I'm learning from myself, I'm learning from others, I'm learning from my students every day, just how to do things better. So again, that I'm not sure I got to your question, but again, just the whole tying everything together and trying to keep it real in every aspect of my life. It all for me stems from the classroom because it's what I do every day and it's what I'm passionate about. But again, trying to see, being more mindful. I don't practice meditation. I don't do yoga, and I probably should. I do try to be mindful, though. You know, let's say you have a faculty meeting and it's making you get home really late and you get frustrated. I try, instead of seeing things in that way, I try to see it in a good way. Like maybe because I had to stay at school extra long, I got to drive home with the sun setting in front of me. And I try to see the power in that, that if I had left school earlier, I wouldn't have been in that moment. I wouldn't have seen that beautiful sunset. So I don't realize I do that as much as I do, but I do it constantly. You know, when I'm out at the store, I think if I had come a little later or a little earlier, I wouldn't have met this person. And or just again, to be mindful of everything around you all the time, and that people are out there. They might just need you to listen. They might need a kind hello. Anything like that just is a reminder of that we are, again, all in this together, and that's very powerful.
It certainly is. Thank you very much. That was beautifully expressed. And one of the questions that you shared with me a while back was, how does our view of ourselves influence how we make connections? And you just described a view of your role and yourself in a beautiful expression of that. How do you help to bring those that may not have experienced that early, well, many people don't, that early sense of, wow, I've got something I can express here that turned out pretty well. I have growing of confidence. whether it's in the direction of young people in the classroom or in the direction of your professional colleagues or those in your community, or any, all of them, if you wish, how do you help the folks to be reflective about their own view of themselves and the impact that has on making connections?
Again, when I get to share things with others, I think some people think things come really easily for me, and they don't. I have a lot of insecurities just like everyone else, but the fact that I'm willing to take risks, I especially think that's important for my young language learners. I'm asking them to take risks with the language in the classroom every day, but they also see me taking risks. They see me presenting to hundreds of people and they're like, don't you get nervous? And and I'm like, maybe, but not really, just because like this conversation with you, that's all it is. It's a conversation. And so I never am at a loss for words, rarely. And if it's something that I feel strongly about, then I'm ready to share that with others. And I'm hoping that through that, teachers can begin to see themselves. Through that, you know, hopefully it's a little bit empowering to them that I often say, you know, give back. You think you might not have something important to say, but everyone does. And there's also a great TED Talk by Celeste Headlee that she mentions, we don't listen well. We're not good listeners. And all we need to do is just sit back for a minute. As language teachers, we want to communicate, but the huge piece of interpersonal is also interpretive. And if we're not listening well, then we don't know how to reciprocate what we need to say back to a person. So I think there's a lot of power in just keeping your mouth shut occasionally and listening to people and hearing their stories, because everyone has something they want to share.
Yeah. Beautiful. Boy, thank is you. That right, huh? Listening is the key. Okay, so turn that wonderful mind of yours out into the society in the United States where you live, societies around the world. How do the insights that you have, the experiences you have, that role of listening, backwards design, what kind of role should that be playing in our society right now?
Well, as you know, we are living in interesting times, and it makes me sad sometimes because there's just so much going on in the world, and I think that we just have to remember again that we are all interconnected. It's the interculturality piece. Maya Angelou says we are more alike than we are unlike, and I again try to live by that because I try to show that to my little, you know, in my little classroom in the mountains of North Carolina that are literally isolated by this geographic barrier, that there are people out there just like you going through things just like you, and what, where is our role in all this? And I really think that just bringing as many experiences as I can to my students. Now, I have limited experience from some people have traveled so extensively, but I have been fortunate to see and live in other countries. And I think that's one of the most powerful things we can do is spend some time in another country, because then you really get to look back at your own country and see how others view it, if you will. And we know we have a lot of growth we can make in this country. We're a strong nation, but we're missing that empathy piece and that, wow, we belong together and we have to protect everything that we have. And we have to recognize that we all live in this country and that we should welcome people who want to be here because it's so important. Everyone wants to feel safe and everyone wants to have opportunities. And again, just keeping in mind that just need to be more sensitive to others and listen and make those connections that are strong so that everyone feels valued. I did learn a lot from that inclusive workshop, I'll tell you, because, you know, you take your own camera lens and you point it at yourself and you say, how do I feel about this? And what do I need to think differently about? Or what am I doing well? And how can I share that with others?
What do you think that leaders, political leaders, I guess I'm really going to hear now.
Yeah.
How best can they go about understanding what you just said about inclusiveness, what you just said about the approach to people.
Just by making good choices. And that's hard because I think most politicians go into politics with really good intentions. And then I don't know what happens that sometimes they lose sight of that. So I would like to think that if they keep in mind that they are part of the Ubuntu, that they are because we are. And if they keep the we in mind and not so much the I think that maybe that would make our nation stronger.
Keep the we in mind and not just the I. There you go. Language education, Carmen, when you have been engaged here in these, what, 27th year you are in?
Yes, that's right.
Over the 27 years, and when you also consider the upcoming years as you see them, what is the role of language education? Where is it headed? Where should it be headed if it's not headed in the right direction or tweak?
One of the things that I think our country doesn't do well is to foster that second or third language from an early age. It happens so easily and naturally in other countries, and it's just not something we prioritize in this country. So I think that obviously we need to get language back in elementary schools. We've got lots of awesome dual immersion programs or just immersion programs in the country. We need more of those. We need, again, I think being bilingual, biliterate breaks down all of those barriers that so many people still have inside them, whether they want to admit it or not. But the more you know about other cultures and other languages, the more receptive you are to others in general and their philosophies and their beliefs. That's the whole interculturality piece, the products, practices, and perspectives. Not everyone's going to think like you do, and that's okay. But understanding how to react to that is, I think, one of the strongest things. So it all starts with language, and it all starts with language at an early age. But even if we keep it at, you know, the middle school or high school level, just the idea that this has got to be a priority for us, because that's where a lot of the growth and the healing can come from, just those language classes. If you walk down the language hall at my school, you hear all kinds of emotions happening at one time. And that's what I love about being able to teach a world language, is that I can teach anything. I can share, you know, we can laugh together, we can cry together and experience life things together just through the language. And so I definitely think we're starting to do a better job in this country. You know, we have the seal of biliteracy, and some students are really grasping on to what they can to become more global citizens of the world, but we still have a lot of work to do.
You know, Carmen, I always credit it, because of my own background growing up in an urban area, that coming here to the rural area, that folks were sometimes not interested in having language education early or often because of the sense of a bit of threat.
Right. Frankly. That's what I was going to say. Mm-hmm.
And it has struck me now, years down the pike, that people that are in urban areas that have a strong sense of community may feel that same sense of threat. Mm-hmm. But whether it's rural, urban, anything in between, how do you, Carmen, address the idea that one can be confident in the midst of learning language, you know, offering language, being in the midst of language?
Right. Well, again, I think you're spot on. I think it's the fear of the unknown. You know, no one likes to feel like they don't have a good grasp of things. And I think when we hear other languages or see people who look a little differently than we do, it could be a threat, but it's also just, hey, this is different. And so there is fear there. So again, one of the ways I try to do that is to tell my story of times I've traveled and situations I've been in, interactions I've had with other people, and how they helped me and how I grew from them, and how there wasn't anything to fear and there was no threat, and how much I learned from those other people. And if I hadn't been open-minded to that, I wouldn't have had those awesome experiences, which calls me to reflect and think about where I am in the world. So again, just sharing as many stories with students and people as possible. You know, my family hasn't had the opportunities that I've had to travel necessarily. And so just by being able to share that with them, I think that's made a huge difference in their appreciation of who I have become. They didn't have that travel bug like I did, but I've been able to share those stories with them. And you know, my mom was like, oh my goodness, weren't you scared? No, because this was how I felt. I could smell the market. I could hear, I could talk to people, I could understand. And that, man, that gives you a lot of power and it gives you a lot of confidence. And so study abroad, I highly recommend to students, get out of your comfort zone and put yourselves in situations that, yes, might be frightening at first, but then you'll realize how much you can learn from the experience.
Thank you, Carmen. When you take a look at encouraging people to take those risks,
yes,
what kinds of tools or what kinds of places that can help to encourage those that don't have or don't yet know that they have the skill set of putting up with risk and living through it?
Mm-hmm.
That's a toughie for many people. Where do they go to get some of that building up that risk muscle?
I think they go into themselves and try to reflect on all the good stuff they have to offer others. And I never thought of myself as a confident person. And when I lived in Mexico for 6 months when I was 20 years old, I was terrified a lot of the time. Uh-huh. Realized that I did have a lot to offer. I love to smile at people. I love to make people feel good about themselves. And I think that began to give me more confidence. And certainly when I returned from that amazing experience, I was like Superwoman. You know, I had gained, here was this little, you know, girl who had, with blonde hair and blue eyes, who was living in a country that maybe, you know, I didn't look like most people there. And I didn't have a firm grasp on the language. That's why I was there, of course, to study and learn. And I was in all kinds of situations that I just completely grew from. And I did that all by myself, literally. And so I think, again, it goes back to go inside yourself and think about the good you have to offer others, because you definitely have something good to share. And hopefully that will begin to build your confidence so that you can become part of the bigger picture.
You have something positive to share. So many times I think when people think about language and culture and learning, it's like, I'm supposed to receive, I'm supposed to receive, I'm mm-hmm. supposed to receive. But your emphasis there is on you already have gifts to give.
Mm-hmm. And everyone does. I mean, that's the thing. You just have to realize what those are. That's why I do try to see all of my students as individuals, because everyone is different and everyone does have something to contribute. You know, you might think of yourself, oh, I'm an introvert or I'm an extrovert. And it doesn't matter what kind of vert you are. What matters is what you realize that is inside you that you do have some control over. You do have control over how you're going to respond to situations. You do have control over what is good about you that you can share with others. So you just have to go in and figure those things out for yourself.
And I'm going to bet that in your classroom and in your workshops and in your presentations that you help people feel safe on the way to discovering their skill set.
I certainly hope so. Here's a true confession on your podcast now that's going to be broadcast everywhere, that I pretty much have the same message every time I speak. I just give it a different analogy. I mean, because there's some fundamentals. Okay. Every time I present. Okay. You've got to build connections with your students. You have to have a relationship with them, first and foremost. You have to stay fresh in what you're doing in the classroom. You have to reflect all the time to be a better educator, to be a better human being. And basically, that's my message every single time, splattered with, you know, student examples and what I'm doing and differentiation and all those kinds of things and growth mindset. But basically, it's the same message, because that is the foundation of life. I mean, that is what we're here to do. I hope that people, when they hear me, begin to see what I do in the classroom as a way to better what they're doing in the classroom or just in life in general.
The true confessions of Carmen Scoggins.
It's out now. I did it.
You did it.
I said it.
Come and hear the latest iteration.
Oh, gosh.
At Carmen's next presentation and workshop. That's great.
Awesome.
That's brilliant. Carmen, do me a favor here. I want you to visualize the folks that are listening, okay. You have just given them a beautiful exhortation. Just be the best person they can be and bring that to the world. Got one more opportunity to to turn that same message into other words. Okay. No, I'm just kidding on that last part. But you turn to them and like, what's the last thing? Like, don't leave this podcast without hearing me say...
It's all going to start with you, okay? And turn that camera to yourself. Everyone loves to take a selfie, but think about what that actually means. Think about your emotions, your motivations. This is time for self-examination, self-consciousness, self-awareness, because once you can grab hold of that, everything else will radiate out into those bigger connections that we can make with the rest of the world.
Carmen, I feel energized every time I speak with you, every time I hear you.
Thank you.
And on top of that, it's an invitation that really is life-giving and empowering at a time when people need to hear that energy, need to be given that gift. Thank you so much for doing
Thank
that.
Thank you so very much.
I appreciate your sharing today, and I wish you the very best of success as you continue your leadership. Thank you for it. And thanks for bringing this energy to the world, to your students.
Well, thank you so much. It's been my pleasure to be with you. And hopefully someone will hear something that resonates with them today. I appreciate this so much.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode. If you enjoyed it, please share it with your friends, family, and colleagues. Let's continue the conversation. Be sure to check out my website, fluencyonline.com, to learn more about our guests and to check out the resources and information they've shared with us there. I have other ideas, resources, and opportunities there for you too. Again, thanks so much for listening, and until next time.